Let's jump in God's Word today. I wanted to share something that's been stirring around a little bit here. I believe it's the right way to go today, and we'll see where we go. But I wanted to talk about a little bit today our that thing that's about an inch below your nose. Your tongue. Your speech, and how that should work, and so isn't it interesting? You know, we've come into a new year and we have all kinds of aspirations and plans, and it boils down to you can have what you say, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about that, calling those things that be not. Talking about God's word today a little bit. Is that all right? It's good to remind ourselves that we are here in this earth and we can manage this earth through our speech. God put Adam, you know, you think about it, says when there was darkness on the face of the deep, the Holy Ghost moved. But he didn't do anything until what? God spoke. And so he spoke and things came into existence. And so, yes, we're made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We're made in his image and likeness. So that means we are a spirit. We live in this body. We have a soul. But we are a spirit, and you could say we speak. We're a speaking spirit. And so, no, we don't create worlds, but we are made in his image and likeness. So that means when we speak from this spirit, it creates something. And we need to remind ourselves that what we say in faith creates. Our words have power when spoken in faith. So we need to remind ourselves of that. You know, so often we, you know, I go back sometimes and look at some of these prophecies. And I remember the prophecy that Brother Copeland gave to Pastor Sarah. He said, watch your words, even in jest, in fooling around. Watch your words. He said, because I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. You know, God can increase the anointing upon your words. And so I think he's merciful to us because if he increased the anointing on some of our words, we'd be in trouble. We would be in trouble. And so I think we need to watch that. And as we are faithful, he will increase the anointing. But along with that, there's a responsibility as to how we speak. What are we doing with our words? That doesn't mean you're just going to be mum, but you need to be, you know, one thing I remember just reading a lot of those that have gone before us, Brother Hagin would say, before I speak, I weigh what I'm about to say. How is that going to affect the other person? So whether it affects another person or a situation, what I'm about to say, what's the impact of that? And so we need to remind, I mean, I do, you know, we all miss it sometimes, but when we let those words rip, if something doesn't feel right down here, you need to fix it. You need to say, you know what, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said it that way. And so we need to watch that because we can have what we say. And we will have what we say. Not we can, we will have what we say if it's said in faith. And the more you say something, the more you speak it. You know, the principle, Brother Hagin said this. He said, the reason people's faith don't work as effective as it should is they reject the watering process. What does that mean? We get excited about hearing the word one time, but then we need to say it and say it and say it and say it. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. Said when she heard of Jesus, she went to him saying. Well, if you read some translations, it said she kept saying. She kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She kept saying it. She was watering. She was watering. So we have got to continually say something that we believe, something that we affirm too. We have to continually say that. And when you do, what does Mark 11:23 say? It says, if you speak and doubt not, and you believe the things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. So there's nothing that we can't have if God's promised it. There's nothing we can't have, nothing we can't do if we speak something and doubt not. We will have what we say. Now that goes both ways. If you keep saying something negative and you keep watering it, you will have it. If you keep saying, such and such, whatever that such and such is, if you keep saying that in the negative, you will have that. You will begin to believe it, and that word coming up, remember, you're a spirit, and the words that you speak are, just like Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, Zoe life. Well, when you speak something, you know, you start saying something enough, you really become almost unconscious of it. You just say it and it's said from the heart. And it becomes spirit. And it does something. It begins to work either for you or against you. It begins to either work for you, for your good, or for something not good. So we need to remind ourselves, fix it, change it. If there's something, ask the Holy Ghost if there's something. Say, Holy Ghost, help me. He's our helper. He wants us to. John say in 3 John? I wish above all things that we prosper and be in health. So, in order to prosper and be in health, we've got to have our words right. We got to speak words that are full of faith, full of life, you see. And we can call those things that be not. Faith has substance. You know, you can't see faith, but you can see the effects of faith. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can't see faith. It's got substance because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. So we're not to talk about things we see. We're to talk about things we don't see, things we desire, things we want to accomplish for God. You can't see those things you desire, you expect to do. That's what you talk. That's what you water. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this. We're going to achieve this. This is a new year. You know, what did Paul say? He said, and turn over there, Philippians 3 and 13. He said, brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, this one thing, forgetting. What does it say? Forgetting those things which are behind. 2021 is behind. Forget it. 2022 is a new slate. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget it. Let it go. Don't keep meditating on, well, this happened and this happened and this happened. Forget it. Let it go. Call those things that be not. This is the best year that I will ever have. This will be the best year I've ever lived. This is the most productive year I've ever lived in. I can have what I say. I will do what I say. This is what we're talking about. Forgetting the failures of last year. We understand people went through some went through some very, very, very difficult things. I'm not trying to make light of that. Paul went through some very, very, very difficult things for Christ. And what did he say? He said, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget all the struggles. He said, press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Push towards those things. Push towards things that are good. Hallelujah. You know, here's why I say that, and I believe Paul received that revelation. If you realize this, the more you meditate on something that is not good, what does it affect? It begins to discourage, create discouragement, and it affects your faith. Because the more you meditate on it, it's certainly not good and just and of a good report. So we need to meditate on those things that are good. Keep feeding. That's what Joshua 1:8 said. Let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. And you will make your way prosperous. So we've got to meditate on that. Not all of the noise and problems that were last year. Forgetting those things which are behind. Press towards God. Press towards His Word. Press towards those things that make a difference for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, one thing that just keeps coming to mind is that when you look at the plan that God had, because we have that advantage now, don't we? Here you have God created man, and man, and out of man He created woman. And what happened? There was a failure on man's part. He was the God over this earth. Or you could say He was the God of this world. God put Him in charge to rule and to reign. his planet. And so what happened? He failed, and now his dominion was given to the devil. But thank God, through what God did in Christ, he redeemed mankind, and that dominion was given back to mankind, wasn't it? Because the scripture says, talks about the first man, Adam, and the second Adam. So mankind now has been restored to his place of what? Authority that Adam had. Now the only thing lacking is what? We're living in a body that's what? It's corruptible. Adam was a sinless man. Well, when Jesus returns, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, incorruptible, an incorruptible body, and will be changed in an instant. But the wonderful thing is now I've got now living in me God. I've got the Holy Ghost living in me. I've got his word. And what is it? I've been delivered from the power of darkness, and I've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. And my authority has been restored where? In Christ. And the devil has no authority over you anymore. His authority was stripped. So the only authority that he has is what we give him. With what? This little thing in our mouth. He cannot defeat you. He can make it pretty difficult sometimes. He can throw up some noise. But he cannot defeat you. He cannot. Say he cannot. He cannot defeat me. He cannot. So one thing, let's turn over to Isaiah 55:11. And this is a familiar scripture verse. But it talks about God's word. I want to look at this for a moment. God's incorruptible seed, the seed, the word of God is the seed. And isn't it wonderful that the redemption, our redemption, has created this new man in us? We've got a new garden, a new spirit. It's been redeemed. And so here, Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that what goeth forth out of my mouth. Where did the word go? Out of his mouth. He didn't think it. He spoke it. It shall not return unto me void or empty or without power. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we can see here the word, the seed, came what? Out of God's mouth. So God's word must be spoken. It's great to meditate on God's word, but ultimately, it's got to be spoken. We know from Romans 10:9-10. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And what does it go on to say? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we've got to believe something in your heart And then that which you believe in your heart has got to be spoken. Got to be spoken. So there's no, you know, I've heard this, some of you have heard this. There's no possession without confession. You cannot possess something without confessing it or speaking it. What does that mean? I speak and God watches over his word. I can't make it come to pass. He brings it to pass. He watches over his word and he brings it into my life. He makes it become a reality. So my words, my faith-filled words, create realities. Now that can be good or bad. So let's look at 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. This is exciting to me. You know, growing up, and I would say after I got saved, I had always an affinity towards words. And it just was. So I remember one of the first articles I read by Brother Hagin was on words. So 1 Peter 1:23, it says in the King James, being born again, not of corruptible what? Seed. Not of corruptible seed. By the word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God, this seed that gets planted in us, lives and abides forever. Isn't that something? The word, the seed that gets planted in you is going to live and abide forever. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. It says, for the eternal and living word of God, you have the living word of God, you have been born again, and this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live, and that's what I like, will grow inside of you forever. That means if Jesus tarries and I leave this earth, or Jesus appears and we're caught up to be with him in the air, that means the living word that's been planted in you will live and grow forever. It cannot die because the word cannot die. That means what we live, what we're growing in here, we bring to heaven. Ooh. Man, there's a living word in us. Now we're going to see and know more because we won't see through, as the scripture says, like a glass darkly. We're not going to see, but the living word that's been planted in us is going to live and grow in me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's eternal. His word is eternal because he is eternal. He is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word is God. He lives and abides forever, and he lives in me. So the seed that's planted in me will never die. It's living. Woo. Woo. The Word is alive. The Word is living in me. It's not logos. It's alive. It's alive. He's alive in me. His Word is in me. And when I get enough of His Word, faith comes. And when faith comes, then what? We are to speak it. Release it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read this from the Bible in Basic English. And I like this. This is the BBE, 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. It says, "And you have made your souls clean." How were your souls made clean? Through the Word. And it goes on, "being ruled by what is true and loving one another without deceit. See that your love is warm and from the heart." I like this. Verse 23, "because you have had a new birth, not from the seed of man, but from eternal seed through the word of a living and unchanging God." This word is living and unchanging. And we can have what we say. Just the same way that God spoke and created things and things came into existence, we do the same thing. When you speak, things come into existence. You create something through what you speak. Now, you're not creating worlds, but I can guarantee you, people speak today and they create fear. They speak and they can release sickness in their body. People speak and they can create anger. So yeah, you do create. You have the power to create. You speak and you can create peace. You speak and you can cause love. So yeah, you can create things. Absolutely. And you do, because faith-filled words create. And when you speak something and doubt not, you have what you say. So that means that when I speak and I say, "this is the best year that I'll ever have in my life," I am going to create something and conditions will come into my life. And I'm giving God the license to open doors and create conditions that it'll be the best thing, the best that I've ever lived, the best for this ministry. But you've got to speak it. Now, if you start talking, "I don't know what we're going to do, you know, it sure doesn't look good," it won't. And you will release the power of the enemy in your life, and he will create conditions to fulfill that. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So our heart is the garden, so to speak, if you will. Your heart is the soil where the seed is planted. Our heart, 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man who's in Christ has become a brand new creature, a brand new person. So our heart has been changed. It's now good ground. It's good soil. Now, you know from the Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, where it talks about the sower sowing the word, you know, there's four types of ground. It said there was the seed. The sower went forth and he sowed waywards, the wayward side, wayward ground, they called it, right? Then it said stony ground with little earth. Then it talked about a soil with thorns and thistles, and then good ground. But our heart is now good ground. And seed, you know, you can't make the seed, you can't stop the seed from sprouting. You can't make a seed not do what it's designed to do. You can't stop that. That's like saying you could stop God's word from producing. You can't. But you can sure mess it up, because that's what those other three grounds did, didn't they? That other three grounds messed up the seed, didn't it? If you go back and you look at Luke chapter 8, it said the seed was thrown on the wayside and it was trodden down. And then the birds came and ate it. You know what that word trodden? Look it up when you get some time. The word trodden means to disdain. It doesn't mean just, well, if you trod on something, that means you step on it. You reject it. You disdain it. That's what that Greek word means. So somebody rejected the word of God. Well, you can do that. And then it won't produce. And then the other ground, it said, was stony ground with little earth. And then it shot up, what? The seed produced, but then it said it withered because it lacked moisture. See the watering process. And then what? Thorns and thistles. It said it came up, but the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches did what? Choked it. So it still tried to come up. So you cannot stop the word from trying to produce. It'll try to produce, but we can mess it up, can't we? We can reject the word. We may not water it, but we may have something going on where the cares of life or the deceitfulness of riches choke something that's trying to produce in our life. But if we allow the word to get in good ground and we water it and we meditate on it and speak it, it will produce an abundant harvest. Glory to God. So the heart is the garden. And it will produce a harvest. Glory to God. So the planting part, how do we plant the seed? You know, a lot of times we've heard this, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. This is in the, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. So the seed will not produce, any seed will not produce unless it's planted. And the seed has to be planted and then watered, but there's going to be a harvest. So here's what God revealed to Paul here. Paul's revealing this to the Corinthian church. He said, I planted the seed where? In your heart. So he planted the seed in their heart. Apollos did what? He watered it, but it was God who made it to grow. Then he goes on, he said, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Verse 9, for we are both God's workers. And what does it say? And you are God's field. You are God's building. One translation says that you are God's field to be planted. So our heart is a garden. It's a field to have seed planted in it, so that God's word can be produced in us, produce faith, so that faith can be released to create something for God. Hallelujah. Let's go to a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says in the King James, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, see, they didn't trot on it, they didn't disdain it or reject it. It said, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which does what? Effectually worketh also in you that believe. So the word of God will work in you effectively if we believe. Hallelujah. So the word of God must be received or believed and planted and continually watered. So, when we talk about the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, the seed of God's Word gets planted in my heart, and it's voice activated. We have things that are voice activated. We got a lot of things that are voice activated now. But faith is voice activated. It's released when we speak. You don't just think something into existence. You have to speak something like God. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You know, I read this, I think I shared this in some past messages. We must continually affirm something that we believe. And what we continually affirm has value, infinite value. This is something I read by E.W. Kenyon. He was a writer. He's going to be with the Lord in heaven. But this is what he wrote. He said, the thing that made Methodism, he's talking about the Methodist Church and Wesley and all that. He said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. Now listen to this. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, And believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. So that movement began to wane because they stopped affirming what they believed. It's good to see these things and read about them because you can begin to read where they missed it. And we ought not do the same. We need to continually affirm the word of God. We need to continually affirm what God says about us, who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. Glory to God. So our faith activates the power of God. So that, what do I mean by that? Faith is an act. So when we have faith, we're acting, we're speaking something that we believe. Proverbs 4, verse 20 in the King James. Proverbs 4 and verse 20 says, these are familiar. My son, attend unto my words. Incline, what? Thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, the word, not depart from, what? Thine eyes. Keep them, where? In the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, what does verse 23 say? Keep thy what? Thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. That word issues, when you look it up, means boundaries or extremities. So you set the boundaries of your own life with your words. Now, you know, you say, a lot of people might say, well, you know, society sets the boundaries, you know, blah, 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 blah. Now, in the natural, I would not disagree with you because there are things that society sets boundaries, but who is the God of this world? The devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And he's done bad things, and he works through people to set and restrict and do bad things. Take away, destroy communities. He can work through people. We've seen this, where he works where one group of people's against another group. He's worked through and set boundaries. You can't go here. You can't do this. He has set boundaries. Now what happens? Now you get people speaking, I can't do this because this. And now you have the devil working through people and destroying people by their own words. Because out of your heart come the issues, the boundaries of life. There's no boundary in this world that can hold you back. There's nothing that society can throw up that says, you can't do this. You ought to say, watch me. Because my God said I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. So now society may set boundaries. But God can work through us to remove boundaries. What are we talking about? Faith can remove mountains. Faith can obliterate boundaries. If we believe and doubt not and believe the things that we say, that means that boundary that's there in my way ain't gonna be there. Now, it may be in your life because you believe it's there and it ain't moving. Well, for you, it won't. But for those who believe in their heart and keep their heart with all diligence and believe the things that they say will come to pass, that boundary is going to move. It will move. And God will watch over his word to perform it just for you. Just for you. Oh, I'm telling you. I like this. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, verse 23 of Proverbs 4, it says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. And you might say, yeah, but it's them folks. No, it's your mouth. Now, you may not like to hear that, but then you're going to have to take it up with God. Because God made you in his image and likeness, and he made you to rule and reign in this life through one Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't like hearing the truth, but you know what? It's like the seed of the word. You can either trodden it, or you can let it get in your heart and let it work, because it says the entrance of his word brings light and it brings understanding. I may not like it, but I'm going to receive it and let it work in me and produce, right? This is the New Century Version, Proverbs 4:23. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. So you think on something long enough, you begin to talk about it, and it'll run your life. Good or bad? So these are the adjustments this year. Forgetting those things that are behind us. Forget 2021. All the negative and junk, forget it. It's already done. And if you're still living in the repercussions of 2021, begin to change your words. Begin to speak. This is the best year. Every day you get up, whether it looks like it or not. You may still be walking in something from last year, but it's the best year that I've ever lived in. This is the best year. And you may have to say it through grit teeth, but it's the best year. And if you believe that and doubt not, you'll have it. You will have it. You will live in it. We are living in today what we spoke yesterday. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. You know, I like that. I'm going to just read a few things here real quickly. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Death says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with what? The fruit of his mouth. That's fruit. That's byproduct, right? That's something that's been growing. You produced some fruit with your mouth, and the increase of his lips shall it be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. This is Proverbs 18:21 in the Passion Translation. It says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And the talkative person will reap the consequences. Now, this is another translation. It's called the Moffat translation. This makes it plain. It says, death and life are determined by the tongue. So that you determine death or life in your life by what you say. That's saying the same thing. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. It's under your responsibility. What you say will release and give license for the devil, your enemy, to produce problems and stuff in your life. Or you give God license. So something that Brother Hagin said, never speak failure. Never speak lack. Never speak I can't. Never say I can't. Proverbs 6 and verse 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Listen to this. This is the Bible in Basic English, the BBE, Proverbs 6, 2. This made it real plain for me. It says, you are taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. You ever think about how a net does? You're like, shoo. This says here, you are taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. So your words act like a net. They trap you. The sayings of your lips have overcome you. Let me read one more here. Proverbs 21, 23. In the King James says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. I'm sure we all have stories about that. How many are married? Keep your mouth. And it says here, keep his soul from troubles. The Passion Translation of Proverbs 21:23, it says, watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised by how few troubles you'll have. You, yeah. That's pretty plain, right? I think we've all lived that out with some regret, where we've said some things and we went, you know, when your words are out, you go, come back. Too late. They're out there. It's too late. This is Proverbs 13:3. Says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. In the Passion Translation, it says, guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it will ruin everything. Oh boy. Yeah, it can ruin everything. And we know that's true because some of us have lived that way or lived in it. We've said something and it's ruined everything. You know, we see divorce, people say things and it's ruined it, ruined a marriage. It can ruin a relationship with parents and children. It can, ruin something you said on a job can ruin it. You know, I remember... You know, we used to have, when I was working with the company I worked with years ago, we would meet periodically with the chief executive officer, the CEO of the company, and I regularly would meet with VPs in certain areas of the company and others, but they gave us opportunity to share and talk and exchange ideas. And this one person I worked with, he thought it might be funny. I don't know why he thought it was funny, but the CEO of the company had an extremely strong Boston accent. And he thought it was funny to make fun of that. Not directly at him, but just kind of make fun. In a setting with others. It ruined everything for him. Because he didn't get fired, but from that day on, he went nowhere. They just put him over here. So sometimes our words can ruin everything. So we need to watch it, keep our words, but most of all, speak those things that guard our heart. And if we miss it, just ask God to forgive it, forgive you, and work at watching what we say. Because we are going to have what we say. You keep watering it, you keep watering it, you believe it, you will have what you say. And we are going to have the best of what God has provided for us and given us. Sometimes it takes a while for us to see it and live in it. That's why when the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, right? I like, there's a translation in Galatians 6. I don't have that translation in front of me, but let's just turn there, Galatians 6. Verse 10 says, be not weary in well doing. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a translation, I may have it, I'm just looking here. There is a translation that says, be not weary or discouraged in the seed that you've planted. Oh, that did something for me. Don't be weary in the seed that you've planted, because you will reap if you faint not. Keep watering it, keep watering it, keep watering it, and it will produce. So don't get weary. Yeah, I've been saying this, I've been confessing this, I've been speaking this for the last 10 years. Be not weary or discouraged because of the seed that you've planted. It will produce. It will produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I really wanted to just touch on the significance of the seed of God's word today, and that it's incorruptible, it's infinite, and has infinite value, and it's powerful, and the seed is living and abides within us, and it will live in us forever. So be not weary. Keep watering the seed that's planted in your heart and guard it and speak it and create those things that God intends for us to have. We'll have it and live in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is looking for a people that will take his word and speak it and command things to change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things last year, something that the Lord was revelation for me. But, you know, sometimes revelation, when God reveals something to your heart, it's new for you, but it may not be new for you, but it's new for you. Right? Sounds funny, but it's true. It's new for you. But, you know, in a time of just worship and praise to God for something that I needed in my life at the time, I kept hearing these words. I just lifted up my hands at home and I began to praise God for something. And I began to just worship him and thank him. And up out of my spirit, right up in here, I heard it. I heard it. And man, I mean, I got it. All I heard down here was no evidence. No evidence. No evidence. No evidence. And that truth, now at that point, there was evidence. But he said, no evidence. He, the head of the church, said, no evidence. Oh, but in the natural, there was evidence. And I tell you, I began to thank him and say, thank you. No evidence. No evidence. When we receive him and believe with our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, instantly there becomes no evidence of this old spirit man. I become a new creature in Christ. There's no evidence of it. And so we need to walk by faith and not by sight. So we may see evidence in our life of things. There may be a mountain, there may be situations, there may be stuff. But as far as God's concerned, if he says that according to his stripes ye've been healed, there may be evidence. But he says, no evidence. That's right. That's right. That's right. So who are you going to believe? What are you going to believe and say? Are you going to say what the evidence in the natural is? Or are you going to say what his word says? That's the true evidence. Are you going to say, well, my bank account's empty? That's the evidence. Or are you going to say, this year, everything I set my hands to was blessed. Money cometh to me. Prosperity comes to me. Blessings come to me. Or are you going to talk what you see? Or are you going to talk what you don't see? That's the evidence. No evidence of lack in my life. No evidence of sickness in my life. No evidence. Because his power, I'm redeemed from sickness and disease and lack and poverty. I'm redeemed. No boundaries in my life. I guard my heart. This is the best year that I will ever have. This is the best year that I will ever live. The best, the best, the best. The best job, the best health, the best in my family, the best. The best in my business, it's the best. Why? Because I said so, and I believe it. That's who we are. That's who we are. We are His children. We are the body of Christ. And what we say and believe in our heart will come to pass. Now, it's not about having things to just say we have things. It's about Him displaying Himself through us and operating through. He gets pleasure in the prosperity of His saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, no evidence. No evidence of lack in my life. No evidence of sickness or disease in my life. I have the blessings of God in my life. This is the best year that I've ever lived. The best year. The best. 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 The best year. The best year. The best year, the best year, the best year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that it's alive and living in us. And we rejoice. And we'll come up short no thing in our life this year. No thing. And we thank You for Your written word, which is alive in us. Thank You that it is the power of God in us unto salvation. So we thank You today. We give You praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you happen to be here today or you're watching online and you don't know this wonderful Savior, He is returning soon and He died and went to the cross and shed His blood and was raised on the third day. And if we believe that, we believe that He is the Savior and that He was raised from the dead. And we believe that and confess that with our mouth, the words of God says you'll be saved. You'll receive eternal life. So if that's your situation and you desire to receive Him into your heart, and you confess that with your mouth, you'll be saved. And I know we know most people are, but perchance there's one person here today or watching online that's in that situation. It says, just one. The angels in heaven rejoice. So let's say this, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ and that You raised Him from the dead. And so I believe that. I believe He took my sins to the cross. And I believe we were raised from the dead and raised and seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. And I rule and reign from that place. I receive Him now as my Savior And now I'm saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, God is looking at the heart. And if you believe that, confess that with your mouth and believed in your heart, you're saved, you're redeemed, you're born again, you're a brand new person in Christ. Just get in touch with us. Let us know by either email or phone or mail. And that information's on the screen. Someone will be here if you're here today. Glory to God. Praise God. God is good. Glory to God.